welcome to the Truth and Love Podcast with Pastor Nate and Jen Morris. We are excited to be back with you today. It's been a few weeks. We usually try to put out content every other week, but it's been a little bit this time, and there's a reason for that. We're going to get into that today in our discussion together. But before we get there, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder to click that like button or the subscribe button so that you keep getting these podcasts in your feed on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. Also, if this is a blessing to you, would you consider sharing it with your friends and family? Just click that forward link, pass it on to somebody who you think might be blessed by listening to our conversation today. Every podcast episode, we're going to have lots of good discussion, let you in on some of our internal discussions between Jen and I and some of the things that we like to talk about and think about. And so we hope that it's a blessing to you. But today we're going to cover something a little bit different because it was about 4 weeks ago. I was in a pretty serious mountain biking accident and broke my neck and my back. And it's been kind of a crazy journey since then.
So it's kind of funny, Nate, because a few podcasts back, we asked, what is the biggest like accident or fall you've been in? And you talked about falling off your bike a few times.
I don't remember this. That really happened?
Yeah, we shared. And it was like, yeah, I fall off my bike and break some ribs once in a while. No big deal.
Yeah.
Well, so we're revisiting that today.
Yeah. Now it is a big deal. I guess I got the big one out of the way. Yeah. You can't see me because this is obviously just audio only, but I'm sitting here in a body brace and a neck brace, very stiff right now. Actually just came from my first real PT appointment today. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and about kind of the bigger thoughts behind these types of things that happen in our life. And maybe what we were thinking as we're going through these moments and what we're thinking now as we're still in the midst of it, because it's kind of the healing process is a long process. It's a 12-week process for this where I am very limited in what I can do. So,
yeah, we just want to share with you guys because I think everyone has a lot of questions very reasonably. Some of those questions we can answer and some of them you'll laugh when you find out which ones we can't, but just because we don't even know the answer. But we just want to share the story and also let you in on where God was meeting us in some of these moments. We just want to give glory to Him and just share with you what the journey's really been like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. If you haven't heard, I was in a mountain biking accident. I was biking with a group of guys, friends, most of them from church. And you know, it was kind of a Tuesday and we had plans had shifted for the day. And I got a text that day from a friend of mine who said, "Hey, we're going on this bike ride tonight. Would you like to come?" And I mentioned it to Jen and you were like, what did you say?
Oh, I was like, yeah, for sure. You got invited by friends to go for a ride. You have to go.
Yeah.
Basically totally. Pushed him out the door.
Okay. So it's your fault.
It's my fault. Okay.
So I was like, yeah, I would love to come. I, you know, kind of got myself ready and biked over there. And there was 10 of us that were going on this bike ride, 10 of us on the trail. And we were just kind of cruising and chatting and having a really good old time. And we stopped at the top of this one little section and we're kind of waiting for some of the guys to catch up to us. Cause when you're with that big of a group, it's kind of like you got to stop every once in a while and wait for the whole group to catch up. And, we started going down this one downhill section. Now I like to mountain bike. It's one of the main things that I really do like for my own personal enjoyment and also hanging out with my kids. And, so I had done this trail a whole bunch of times before. But something about this time, we just kind of went down and was going and kind of cruising down the trail. And there's a couple really technical, steep, kind of scary sections on this trail. And I wasn't even on those. This was actually, in between two of those. It wasn't even a big deal, the place that I was at, but something happened and I don't know exactly what happened. I've tried to figure it out with, the guys that were on the trail with me and all these different things. Something happened where I just went over the handlebars on the bike. And I remember falling. I remember the whole thing happening. I flew over the handlebars and I remember being in the air and I remember landing and I landed on my head. I hit my head. Thankfully, I had a really good helmet, so I didn't have any concussion or head injury or anything like that. Praise the Lord. But as I landed on my head, I had the wind knocked out of me, and it was pretty intense. We'll get more to that in a minute, but Jen's got something here.
So in case you're wondering, it's a Bell helmet, and it wasn't your standard off the rack Walmart helmet. It was a good one, but it's been amazing this whole process through. Every doctor that Nate has seen has said that helmet saved your life. So a little public service announcement.
Yeah.
Please wear your helmet when you bike ride.
Yes, definitely wear your helmet. It was, most people think of Bell helmets as the Walmart brand because they have those cheap Walmart helmets, but they actually make really high-end helmets as well. And I, last year I bought one of their high-end helmets because I liked to do some of the downhill stuff on Vail a couple times a year, and it had an attachment that covers your face. And so I was like, I want the face attachment just in case, because I've had so much dental work that I did not want to risk knocking my teeth out and having to pay for dental work again.
Yep. So miracle number one, Nate got through this with no head injury, no concussion the entire way, and it saved his life. That's our first moment to pause and say, praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hit my head, I landed, the wind was knocked out of me, and I wasn't exactly sure why. It was probably the worst pain that I've been in that moment right then. And I was laying there on the ground and really not being able to breathe. I couldn't catch my breath, and just intense pain in my back. And one of the guys came up on me pretty quickly. One of the guys that was behind me on the trail, thankfully he was far enough behind me that he didn't run into me. That was another little praise right there. But he could tell something was wrong. I was not breathing normally or appropriately. It was like gasping, kind of wheezing for breath. Could not get my breath for the life of me. I really was in shock at that point, I think physically, and, laying there like, okay, something is really wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but something is really wrong. And you know, all those kind of scary thoughts go through your head in that moment of, okay, what did I do? What's going on? How is this going to end? What's going to be the outcome of this? I have not fallen like this before. And so I'm just kind of laying there, but really just like trying to breathe at that point. And he, was like, okay, we need to call an ambulance. Or he was like, are you okay? And I was, the only word I could get out was no. I was like, no, I'm not okay. Like something's wrong. So they called the ambulance and they called Jen, who happened to be taking our kid and some other kids to an activity that night. Yeah.
So get the phone call. You know, when your husband is out with a bunch of guys, the last thing you want to see is one of those guys' names pop up on your phone. But yeah. I'm driving our oldest to an activity with a couple of his friends in the car, and this friend's name pops up on my phone. And, you know, he shared with me that I needed to come to the trail right away. And I was like, okay, can I take should I get the kids out of the car, take them to where they're going, and then I come? I thought we were going for some stitches, you know, maybe an x-ray, probably some stitches. And he was like, no, you cannot. You know, he shared Nate's not breathing normally and he wasn't moving at that point in time. So, worst mom moment ever. I dropped our oldest friends off on somebody else's doorstep and said, you have your cell phone, right? Right. And went racing to the parking lot that was just a few minutes away from where Nate was, riding at that time.
Yeah. So I was laying there. It took me about between 5 and 10 minutes to really catch my breath and be able to breathe normally. I think just my body was kind of in shock at that point. And I laid there and I didn't move for about half an hour, maybe a little longer even. I just was kind of like, okay, something is not right here. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, I broke something in my back. You know, maybe it's ribs, maybe it's just a really bad fall. Maybe I just really knocked the wind out of me, but something's not right. And just kind of like, okay, what's going on? What's the deal? And the guys were all at that point gathered around me and kind of like, okay, can you move your fingers? Can you move your toes? At that point, I could move everything, which was good. So I was praising God for that, but just kind of processing through all of the thoughts and emotions at that time.
Yeah. And as I'm driving over to the parking lot, man, those boys that were in the car with me, they were part of some intercessory prayer, just crying out to God, you know, in that moment when you're like, I am out of control and I don't even know what's true right now in terms of whether, you know, is Nate, is he okay or is he not okay, you know, to a more extreme extent than Stitches, not okay. And anyway, dropped these boys off and started driving over. And to be honest, in that moment, just crying out in prayer with my oldest in the car, and I'm so thankful for Awana. If you guys know Awana, Awana is a program where our kids learn scriptures. And so as I'm like quoting scripture, both for my own benefit and my son's benefit, you know, quoting Psalm 23, quoting other scriptures about God's faithfulness and not being anxious and casting all of our cares on him. And, you know, just having those scriptures flooding my mind, but filling my car. That's what I needed in that moment, was the truth of God's word to just be being proclaimed over us, over, you know, my son and I, and also over Nate, just crying out to God.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guys that were with me were praying over me too. It was cool. God really met us there for sure in that time. And that whole time I'm like, okay, after I realized that I could move my fingers and my toes and stuff like that, I was like, okay, I'm not dead yet.
You know? Oh, it's been a theme this year. Not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet. So I was laying there. Okay. I'm able to move. Things are kind of okay. Something is definitely not okay in my back, but I'm not dying right now. And so we kind of sat there, we waited for the paramedics. It took them a long time because they had to figure out how to get up to me, because we were on this trail and they were trying to figure out the best way to get there. So after being there for probably about an hour myself, I was like, you know, I think I can walk out. I think I can get up and I can walk out. I had laid still for probably about 45 minutes. And then I kind of rolled over onto my back at that point and was like, I think I want to get up and try to walk out. Thankfully, the guys that were with me wouldn't let me do that.
Oh man.
Yeah. 'Cause it could have been really bad. If they had let me do that, I could have been more injured, and we'll get to that more later. But, they wouldn't let me get up. They're like, no, the paramedics are almost here. They're on their way. That we just heard from them. They're almost here. Just kind of just wait at this point. Like, what's the harm just waiting for them to get here? And so we did, we waited for them to get there, and they came and, you know, kind of evaluated me, and gave me some painkiller there on the trail, just intravenously. They just stuck me with an IV and were like, here, you need to take this. And, that calmed me down a little bit and just kind of was laying there, and they put a neck collar on, which I was like, I didn't even feel anything in my neck. That was kind of the weird thing, is my back was so hurt that I didn't even feel my neck hurting at that point. So I kind of thought it was funny that they're putting a neck collar on. Why are they doing that? Anyways, they got me onto a stretcher and then put me on that stretcher onto this like one wheel device. It was like I couldn't really see it because I was laying down with my head facing straight up. But from what it's been described as like a big ATV wheel with a stretcher on top, that they kind of laid me on. And then they wheeled me down the trail from where I was all the way down to where the ambulance was. Excuse me. And, that was an interesting journey for sure, because I hadn't yet done the most technical, tricky parts of the trail. So they're going down some really steep stuff with carrying me down this thing on this stretcher. And I'm like, oh man, please don't tip me over or something, you know, what's going on. At that point I knew like something was wrong in my back, but I didn't think something more could possibly be wrong. So I was kind of getting confidence and like, okay, this is going to be okay. It's all good. Kind of joking around with the paramedics a little bit and the guys that were there, just to keep things like lighthearted a little. And then got down to where Jen was and the ambulance was, and they loaded me up. Then they took me from there to Vail Health Hospital, which is about 30 minutes from where I was, rode in the ambulance. And, you know, that was an interesting ride. We got to Vail Health. They checked me into the ER and did just a whole bunch of tests. They did CAT scan and x-rays and all kinds of different stuff. And I'm just kind of laying there thinking, okay, I definitely injured myself good. and but it's not
bad.
That big. Yes, but it's gonna be okay. It's not a big deal. Like, it's gonna be okay. I'll be out for a few weeks or whatever for sure, but it'll be all right. And then we were sitting there, and the ER doc came in and was like, "It's not good news." That's what he said, which is like never what you want to hear.
Nope, never what you want to hear. So he came in and shared with us that the CAT scan results came back and that Nate had fractured his C6, which is basically if you feel the lump on the back of your neck, like right as it, you know, kind of right near your shoulders, that lump, that's your C6 in it. So he fractured that one, and he also fractured his T6, which is down kind of between your shoulder blades towards the bottom. But he said the C6 fracture was called a teardrop fracture, and it was considered unstable, which means that the spinal cord is in danger. At that point, though, we knew, you know, Nate was wiggling fingers and toes and all that, but hearing that the C6 was unstable was not what we wanted to hear, as well as the T6. That one's no minor injury either. And mm-hmm. they said, you're going to be out of here on your way, transported to a hospital in Denver, you know, momentarily. They said about 10 minutes. So the awesome thing was, right even in that moment, we were just surrounded by our community. We had, you know, a couple of friends there, and as well as some family, and had the opportunity to just, you know, in that moment, just hunker down and pray and just seek the Lord and cry out to him in that moment. Because, you know, when things, again, it's like, okay, the ride is not over. Ride is not over. It's still just beginning.
Yeah. I think I had come into the hospital thinking like, okay, I'm going to get checked out. They're going to say some stuff. Here's what you need to do. And then I'm going to go home. And, that when him coming in and saying that was kind of like, oh, okay. So I feel okay right now, like in terms of my hands and feet, but like, this is an unstable fracture. It could end up being really bad. So, and actually at that moment I was like, man, thank the Lord that the paramedics made me put on a neck collar, mm-hmm. because if I had been jiggling my head around that whole time, because I didn't feel my neck at that point wasn't hurting. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't feel like I had done anything to my neck. And so I just was kind of like, whatever. And then also again, that my friends didn't let me get up and walk out, mm-hmm. Because it could have made that potentially unstable fracture worse, you know? So, but I will say they loaded me into that ambulance and they sent me down I didn't get the helicopter ride because there was a guy there that got shipped off in the helicopter 10 minutes before me because of a stroke. And so they loaded me in an ambulance and sent me off to Denver down I-70 with construction traffic in the middle of the night on this super bumpy road.
It's so bad.
I was like, oh my God, I had my neck in a neck brace and they had me on a stretcher in the back of the ambulance, and every single bump I was like, oh, please don't let this be the bump that like unsettles that fracture and then hits my spinal cord, you know, seriously having those thoughts as I went down. But just honestly, just in that moment being like, all right, Lord, whatever you have, you're doing something, you mm-hmm. know, and not what I want. This is not what I want, you know, but you're doing something here. And so I'm going to trust that even if it means that I'm going to lose some functionality or whatever because of spinal cord impact, I'm going to trust you for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and that somehow you're going to work that together for my good, even so. And so really just clinging to those promises in the moment when it didn't make much sense to do that, you know, from like a worldly standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Nate, but I just, you know, cause I was following with your mom in a separate vehicle, you know, going down after the ambulance, not directly behind, but mm-hmm. after. And it was just a moment by moment, spiritual and mental battle of, you know, the fear creeps in, the, you know, kind of panic creeps in. And it's like, no, I'm putting my feet back on the rock. Mm-hmm. He is my firm foundation. And, you know, that would hold me steady for about 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then another thought would go blazing across my mind, you know, more emotion rising up. And it's like, no, put my feet back back on the rock because mm-hmm. he is my firm foundation. And that whole drive down was just that process over and over of just like, no, our God is faithful, even if, and that's the thing that's been, consistent through this journey, but especially in those early moments, that's even if the worst happens, even if, you know, when I got that phone call from your friend, it was like, I don't know if Nate's going to make it, that what he shared with me was terrifying. Mm-hmm. Even if mm-hmm. the worst happens, God is faithful. And not entertaining those thoughts from my own mind and even the enemy that would want to cast fear into my heart.
Yeah.
But to stand firm in God's faithfulness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's exactly it, is just clinging to the trust that not only like, because I think sometimes it's like, okay, I'm gonna trust that God's going to get me through this. I'm going to trust that God's going to heal me, or I'm going to trust that God's going to bring me something better than this, or, you know, and we, those things are true. God does do that a lot of the time. But I think that the thing that we really need to cling to as believers is that it's even if the worst happens, that God is still faithful, and that, mm-hmm. that he still loves me. He still has a plan and a purpose. He's still going to bring good in my life some way through it or other. Even if the worst happens, that God is present in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing, because I think we're so conditioned to desire and want comfort mm-hmm. and success and blessing that when a bad diagnosis comes, it can crush us. Or when we have financial difficulty, it's like, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. And I think that when we look at what the scriptures actually teach us, that trial and hardship, our suffering, are actually our friends, mm-hmm. you know, that God uses those things to draw us into relationship with him in a deeper way. You see it over and over again in the Old Testament on a big picture with, like, you know, they get comfortable and complacent and walk away from God. And then God allows trial to point them back to him. But even in the New Testament, I mean, like in James, you know, James chapter 1, it says, my brother encountered all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That basically that God's desire for me is good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes things that are not good and works them into the good that he is purposing. Not that God is intending the bad things that come into my life, but right. that he allows them and uses them to bring good through those difficult situations. So, I mean, I gave a message along these lines a week and a half ago or so. I kind of did a pre-recorded message for church. And I said that, I mean, I said, if God chooses not to heal me, it's because sickness will bring me even more of his all-satisfying presence than healing would have brought me. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard, like, I can say that.
That's tough. That's real.
I can say that, but that like feeling that is another matter, right? I mean, we don't feel that. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think when we choose to declare those things in our lives, it helps us to really grab hold of that, like we were in that moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had a couple things running through my mind in those moments and in the days following, because the story is still beginning. We might be getting mm-hmm. a little long here, but that, you know, one of the things is thinking about the parable where Jesus is talking about, you know, what your foundation is made of, whether mm-hmm. it's made of sand. And then when the storm comes, mm-hmm. that foundation crumbles.
Yeah.
And in that moment, in many of these moments, it was like, I'm crumbling. Mm-hmm. I'm crumbling. But my foundation is not built on me. My foundation is not built on my strength. It's not through my power that I can stand strong in the face of anything at all.
Yeah.
But my foundation is outside of me. My heart's desire is that Jesus would be my foundation, and his foundation stands firm. You know, you picture waves beating against a cliffside. It's going to crumble if it's made of sand.
Yeah.
But it is not going to crumble. It's going to stand firm if it's built upon the rock.
So true.
Also, Psalm 1 talks about a believer who's seeking Christ. It says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And that was just an anchor for me in that moment of, man, Lord, like, pull my roots down deeper, you know, as a tree planted by streams of water. Like, this is a moment for those roots to go down deeper.
Yeah.
But it was scary. I don't want to pretend like it wasn't hard.
No, it was super scary.
And that we did it all right and like didn't falter in thought, in faith, you know, there were moments, but just moments. Super scary. Just moments.
The thing about that parable that Jesus gave of building your house on the rock versus on the sand is that either way, the storm comes.
Yes.
And I think that that's what some people don't understand or don't want to believe, and that the storm's not going to come and the difficulty's not going to come. And there's even a movement in Christianity today that says if you're a Christian, then you're going to have fewer storms in life. If you're a Christian and you honor God, you're not going to have trials. Mm. That you should be healthy and wealthy and blessed and prosperous and all of these things. If you follow God, then this is what's going to happen. And it's a formula. Honestly, it's like, if you're doing the right things, then the good things are going to come. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're doing all the wrong things, there's consequences for that. There's difficult times that are going to come because of your actions. And if you're doing the right things, there are certain things that will play out in your favor, but living a life that honors God and is built on the rock and is built in relationship with God does not guarantee you deliverance from trials or mm-hmm. hardships. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have many tribulations. And so I think we need to I think that the Christian church today clings to this idea of, if I follow Jesus, my life's going to be happy and good and everything will be great. And we think of that circumstantially rather than spiritually and relationally. And I think that what we need to understand is that God allows difficulties in our lives and he repurposes them for good, but he still allows them to come mm-hmm. and they still come and take place. And I think redefining what we call some good or not is what's important, you know? Like this, I've been thinking about this whole situation. And I mean, that we've only shared the part getting down to Denver. Once we got to Denver, I'm not going to go too far into the rest of the story, but we got down there, they did CAT scans and MRIs and all this stuff. And I waited for 24 hours in the ER. And after that, they're like,
and it was 81 degrees in the ER room.
Their air conditioning was not working in the ER. And like, then finally they came and they said, hey, you know, you don't need surgery. So you don't need surgery. That C6 that they thought was unstable is stable, and or at least stable in the sense of like, you don't need surgery for it. And we're just going to keep you here, you know, and just kind of get you checked out here in the next day or two, whatever. So praise the Lord for that. That was amazing. I think that was answers to prayer from all mm-hmm. the people that were praying for us. God really moved, but I do have a broken neck and a broken back, and mm-hmm. it's a long road to recovery. And right now I am incredibly limited in what I can do. I can do about one thing per day. This right now is kind of my thing. I'm going to go home and I'm going to lay down the rest of the day pretty much. Cause even now my neck's starting to act up and hurt and my back's kind of aching. And you know, I'm not able to help with anything, which is driving me nuts because I see Jen having a much higher load of responsibility on her and I can't drive. I can't, do dishes. I can't, you know, vacuum. I can't sweep. I can't take out the trash. I can't do anything. And so my kids are having to step up a little bit, which is hard for them. But then really what's happening is that Jen's having to step up in a lot of ways even more. And so it's hard right now. I mean, like, it was intense and crazy and scary for those first few days, but it's probably harder now than it was then.
I had this moment, not the day that you checked out, but the day before when mm-hmm. we were like, okay, you're getting closer to getting checked out. They had given us the braces and PT and OT had come to visit you. I had this moment where I was like, oh, this is as easy as it's going to get. We can order hospital cafeteria food, which wasn't all that bad.
It was pretty good, actually.
And I got to, you know, sleep alongside, you know, on the couch next to Nate, who was in the bed. And, there was no like house cleaning came in and they swept the floor for us. And like, it was a beautiful moment. And I was like, oh boy, it's about to get real. We're going to go home.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful and such a blessing.
It is, but, but it's also a lot more and it's crazy. And so I'm 4 weeks into this now. I've got 8 more weeks. So we're a third of the way through what my current status is. I'm sure it's going to be longer than that with PT and things, but it's right now is probably harder than it was then. And in the sense of like not dealing with fear anymore, but now it's like the reality of what we're walking through. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this. So back to kind of what I was getting at before, like people saying, I'm sorry you're going through this. And I really appreciate that because it is a bummer and it's hard. But even in my own perspective on this, I've just been thinking, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on here? God is in control. Not that he caused this in my life, but he did allow it in our life, in our mm-hmm. family's life. And the fact that he allowed it means that he's doing something through it. And mm-hmm. There's a quote that I've shared before from a guy named Steve Fuller that says this. It says, since God is my all-satisfying treasure, right? So if God is really the thing that is what my heart, my soul needs most, he says, then what makes something good is whether it brings me more of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that quote is intense, but it's so true. And so like, I think about this situation and I'm like, I don't want to be in this situation anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be stuck in the brace or stuck in the chair. I don't want to be unable to help. I don't want to be all these things. And I'm sure you have the same thoughts in so many other ways, like driving kids around and having to, mm-hmm. you know, figure out meals and all these different things that are going on. And we've had so much help in so many of these areas. So I don't want to pretend like this is all on us. Like our church has stepped up in major ways and people have been giving our kids rides and mm-hmm. bringing us meals and all kinds of stuff. So that, what a huge blessing that is. But that doesn't mean that it's easy and it doesn't mean that it's what you want to go through. Mm-hmm. But when I step back and I look at the big picture of things, I can see that God is working and going to work this for good. Mm-hmm. And so this situation, even though I don't feel it and I wouldn't label it this right now, I can say that this situation is good mm-hmm. because it's going to bring me more of God. It's going to bring you more of God. It's going to bring our family more of God's faithfulness and goodness in our life. And so it's a good thing. That's why mm-hmm. James said to count it joy. He didn't say feel it joy, right? It's not like you just feel joyful because you're going through a hardship. He's saying like, no, you see that difficulty coming into your life. You need to look at that and recategorize that from a negative mm-hmm. to a positive.
Which is, it sounds, you might, I guess to some, it sounds easy. To some, you know how hard that is.
It's really hard.
It can be really hard. And honestly, in like the initial crisis, you know, trauma moments, it's like, okay, crying out to Jesus and he's, you know, recalibrating my mind and emotions and spirit, you know, and then we're 4 weeks into this now. And the days yeah. are sometimes very hard and long and mm-hmm. exhausting. And I feel like the Lord's just been challenging me with this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. This became my lock screen verse quite a while before
yeah.
the accident. But it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We do have an unveiled face. We can come into the Holy of Holies, spiritually speaking, and cry out to our God and just run into the throne room and let him know what's on our hearts and seek that encouragement from the Holy Spirit and that power from the Holy Spirit. But it says that we are to be beholding the glory of the Lord. And in this situation and others, I'm sure you all have your stories. We're not unique in going through trials. Each one of us goes through trials, but the call is to behold the glory of the Lord. And how easy is it to behold the trial, to be staring straight at the trial, staring straight at the thing that's driving you crazy and causing you pain and frustration and disappointment, to be staring at the things that you wanted, but you can't have, at least right now, or maybe ever. It's so easy to lock our eyes on those things, but this verse calls us to behold the glory of the Lord because we are being transformed into that same image, that mm-hmm. process of sanctification from one degree of glory to another. Sanctification is not a cozy, feel good
yeah.
circumstance, process. A lot of times it comes through that trial. And again, it goes back to, what do we define as good? Drawing nearer to the Lord, understanding him more, yeah, having more of him in our lives is good.
Yeah. That's so good. It's so true. I think in my words, I would say that is like, you can't see Jesus if you're staring at the struggle.
Yeah.
I think like if my eyes are so fixed on the hardship, then I miss where God is in it. And, it's easy to get so focused on the struggle, right? That's mm-hmm. where our eyes naturally go. It's like, oh, this is hard. I want out of it. Right. But then, mm-hmm. We need to fix our eyes, behold the glory of the Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, mm-hmm. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He endured the struggle because of what he knew was on the other side, which was us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we follow the same example in our Savior Jesus and fix our eyes on him, knowing that he is our prize on the other side of whatever we're going through, and that even in the midst of it, he's mm-hmm. with us in the fire. He's present with us in the difficulty and the hardship. So, awesome. Well, I think we're about out of time for today. We've gone a little longer than we normally do, but it was really good discussion, and I hope it was a blessing to all of you guys. Just know, whatever you're going through, this has been all about us, but I think sometimes mm-hmm. it's good for us to let you just kind of get a little glimpse into our lives. And people are like, how are you doing? You know, it's like, well, let me do a podcast on that, so you can kind of hear the whole thing, because it's hard to say it in like three sentences, you know? Yeah. But I think, just letting you get a little glimpse into what it's like for us right now, it's difficult. Yeah. But God is good. Mm-hmm. And I think that my encouragement for you is, whatever you're going through, this is not for you to compare to us and say you're going through something harder or something easier than us. God is and can be and wants to be with you in the same way that he's with us and what we're going through. And the same truths that we've talked about today are true for you in whatever difficulty you face, whether it's a relationship issue or a work issue or a health issue or whatever you're going through. Just know that Jesus is with you, inviting you to behold his glory, to rest in his presence, to experience his goodness. And when we see that as the goal, we can actually step back and recategorize our struggles as good because of what we know is going to come through them. So I hope it's a blessing to you. And we invite you to tune in next time. I don't know. Our schedule is so weird. So I don't know if it's going to be a week, 2 weeks. I don't really know. I'm not going to commit to every other week right now on podcasting because it's just very difficult organizing things. But I really wanted to get this one out so that you could hear kind of the update on us. And hopefully we'll be back with you here soon, but definitely before too long.